You are listening to BensTorah.com.
So we began the sugya of Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, and we're going to speak about a more specific, the last week was a general introduction to what the Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach are. We found out that perhaps there are actually 30 of them, which we outlined. And we also saw an interesting thing, that all of the Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach are indeed learned from one pasuk of the first communication of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Adam HaRishon, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Ha'adam Leimor Mikol Eitz Hagan Achol Tochel, which we saw that entire pasuk is extraneous, is redundant, so therefore every word of that pasuk teaches us one of the Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. I found a fabulous Malbim today, if you look at source number one, who points out something very interesting. Says the Malbim, I have a little bit more that's not on the sheet, says the Malbim, do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu really told Adam HaRishon each of those seven mitzvos? Okay, six, because Abram and Hachai came later with Noach. Do you think he really had to tell Adam HaRishon, Kodem HaChait, I want to make sure you're not going to be Noef? With whom? I want to make sure you're not going to steal. From whom? So, points out the Malbim, it doesn't mean that Hashem told Adam HaRishon all these six and was mitzvah Adam HaRishon. What it means is that included in the mitzvah of Lo Sochlu Mikol Eitz Hagan were somehow that mitzvah, that single mitzvah that Adam HaRishon had before the Chait, somehow were kolel all the Zion mitzvos. Fine. And then he adds a fabulous thing. Look at the first line of the source sheet. Says the Malbim, the nature of these Zion mitzvos Bnei Noach, Heim HaSharoshim L'chol HaMitzvos. These Zion mitzvos are indeed the shorish of all the mitzvos, Mehem Histafu Achar Kach Taryag Mitzvos Levnei Yisrael. Mehistafu means that branched out, meaning those mitzvos, there's really one mitzvah of that Adam HaRishon had called the Machait, and that was not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Somehow that had within it, in a certain way that I don't really understand, the kernel of all seven mitzvos for Bnei Noach. And those seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach in turn have kolol in that the shoresh of all taryag mitzvahs that would later be revealed to Klal Yisrael.
How would you say this relates to Aseres HaDibros? Many people say the same thing about.
So you're asking how are the Aseres HaDibros, how are all taryag romos in the Aseres HaDibros? I don't think that's mutually exclusive to the fact that all taryag could be somehow romos or included in the seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach. They're different ramazim. I don't think it would be exclusive. And while the Malbim was at it, he has an interesting point. It doesn't work so well because dinim is actually an asay, but primarily, besides dinim, all the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, in other words, six out of the seven, are all lotaseis. Meaning, there is no proactive
establishing a beis din.
Establishing a beis din, right, aside from dinim. But what's the whole purpose of establishing a beis din? What's the whole purpose of dinim? Nothing more than to adjudicate the other six. So essentially, what is the nature of the entire relationship of the Ben Noach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Only negative, only passive. There's nothing, there's no avoda in a positive way of coming close, of kirvas Hashem, of avas Hashem. An incredible Malbim. Malbim, so look at the next sentence after the three dots. Says the Malbim that whenever you see the word al, something al somebody else, the word, whenever you have, like in our pasuk that where we see the tzivui of Hashem to Adam HaRishon, it says, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'adam le'mor. Whenever you see in the third person, says the Malbim, the word al, and he brings pasuk after pasuk to prove this, that always is going to connotate a tzivui of passiveness. Again, you have to see his sources, we're not going to see, but look at that last line. Vamru chazal shlo nechshav mitzvahs Bnei Noach rak shin vav alafta shev al taisa. Aval kumas vasei lo kachosh. There are no positive mitzvos that a Ben Noach is mitzuvah. Vizeh rotzef, this is included, b'teva haloshon, this is included in the words, shekol tzivi, sha'acharis mila, sha'acharav milas, al. Whenever you have the word al, somebody telling al somebody else, that always is going to connotate a negative, something to do, not to do, something to be passive, to not do an action, which is just an incredible he'ara that the Malbim saw in Tanakh. So we are concluding right now with this introduction, and now I'd like to get into the topic. If you look at the title of this today's shir, we're going to continue, Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, V'Yichusan, and their relationship, L'Mitzvahs Yisrael, shir number two. And the topic we're going to talk about this evening are two points. We'll see how much time we have. The first one is, do we assume that Bnei Noach have to follow Dinim Midrabanan? What do I mean by that? We know that there are numerous Dinim Drabanan for us, but on the six mitzvos or seven mitzvos that they have, there could be Drabanans for those mitzvos. So do they, are they bound by Sheva mitzvos? Are the Sheva mitzvos of Bnei Noach also include
Are they going to listen to them?
That's what we have to talk about right now. And I'll explain what I mean. For example, we have a concept, one of the Zayin mitzvos of Bnei Noach is Arayos. In Shas, we have a concept called Shnias La'arayos. Look at the Gemara Yevamos in source number 2. Pasuk says, Shmartim es mishmarti, also mishmeres l'mishmeres. We have to put a fence around the Torah, which teaches us the concept of Shnios. Tan Rabbanon, Mahim Shnios. What are these? Dinim d'Rabbanon, Arayos d'Rabbanon. Aim Imo, for a person to live with his grandmother, in this case, or Aim Aviv, his grandmother on the other side, this would be only an Isser d'Rabbanon. But Chazal, and of course it enumerates a few others that are only midrabanan. So we know, and we will agree, that a ben noach can't violate arayas. What about shnias la'arayas? So what are the two sides of the coin? Why? Who would vote that, yes, bnei noach are bound by shnias la'arayas, are bound by yisurim drabanan? Would anybody suggest that? Terrific. So Rav Yosef is saying that in as much as the Gemara tells us, there can't be any, Jews are always have to be stricter, thank you. If there's anything that a Ben Noach is bound by, a Jew always has to be stricter. So how does that answer the question? It's the opposite, it's the inverse. We are, so they could not be, right. That's the basis. Anyone who could argue that maybe they would have to be. Is there any logic to suggest why a non-Jew would be bound by Dinim Drabanan? Any svaras? No svaras. Okay, so let's look for some sources. Let's talk about another one of the Zayin mitzvos Bnei Noach that has in it, in our application, Din Drabanan, Eiver Menachai. Eiver Menachai, I'm going to show you Gemara Chulin right now. There's such a thing called Eiver Menachai Midrabanan. I don't know the sugya so well, but let's look at the Gemara Chulin. Tisanya. Basar basada trefa lo sochlu, lahavi ever menach ever vahabasar hamedul dalin. Medul dalin means it's like hanging. It's sort of like if you picture something that's almost completely severed, but it's still hanging on just by a little bit of by a thread. You know, like when you're cutting chicken in an erev Shabbos and you sort of got through the whole thing, but you didn't get the end of the last little bit is still attached. So with that, to remove that ever, would that violate ever menachai? So the Gemara Chulin says that would be aser. Next line says Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chan Amar Rabbi Yochanan, source number 3, Ein Bana Ela Mitzvahs Parush Bilvad. It only has a mitzvah to avoid it. You're not really, it's not a lav, it's not Eivir Menachai, it's just a mitzvah to not do it. Says Rashi, Ela Mitzvahs Parush, the second half of Rashi, Ela Mitzvahs Parush Bialma, Midrabanan, Ukras Mach, it's not a real source in the Chumash, it's just an Issud Rabbanan. So fine, we have Eivir Menachai, Midrabanan. If I were to see an animal has something or other is just sort of hanging from it, its leg, a cat is walking around, limping around, its leg is sort of, I shouldn't say a cat, I'm talking about a kosher animal.
A chicken
is walking around and its wing is hanging off, it got into an accident, its wing is hanging off and I rip it off and eat it, that would be Isser Drabbana. Says the Ran, would this apply to a guy? Look at the Ran in Maseches Chulin. Kagon Abraham Eduldol, it's going to be Asurim, says the Ran, Umihu, however, Davgul Yisrael, this Isser of Abraham Eduldol is only going to be prohibited to Yisrael. Aval ben Noach, it's going to be Mutter. Second line, Davil Yisrael, Ein Bo Ela Mitzvahs Parash, it's only, even for a Yisrael, it's only Midrabanan. So therefore, for Ben Noach, it's got to be Mutter. You're saying, of course, how could you even start to say that a Ben Noach should have mitzvah d'oraisa, d'rabanans? We only have to listen to d'rabanan because of Lo Sasser. If they don't have Lo Sasser, Where does it start? And I think you will like the next Rambam also. The Rambam in Hilchas Nachlas, talking about nothing to do with Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach. Here he's talking about how Yerusha works and what are the laws. These are the very, very delicate halachas. There are probably more family fights that happen because of Yerusha than so many other areas. Just imagine if it's Yerusha, if there's a ger, just imagine the fights that could happen there. Says the Rambam, a ger on a Doraisa level, if he's Megayer, he's no longer related to his father. So therefore, should he yarshin his father? A guy dies, his son, the ger, who's now Avraham, Hager, Tzedek, Midoraisa Shana is not connected, is not related to his father at all, never should not inherit. However, Ella, Midivrehim Tiknu, Lo Sheyirash, Chachamim wanted to, yes, allow him to inherit his Gayusha father. Why? Because if he doesn't, you know, with on one hand he wants to be Jewish, on the other hand there's a $3 million estate.
He cannot afford it.
That, he can't afford being Jewish at this point. All of a sudden, you know, buying two sets of dishes and spending twice as much in Kosher Delight as opposed to McDonald's he can handle. But, you know, $3 million estate, that's a little too expensive, you know, to be Jewish. So therefore, Chacham made a takana drabanan, we will let him Yoresh, even though Midoraisa, that's not the case. If he was a guy, he would be Yorish Midoraisa. So then the Rambam talks about whatever he talks about, a case of Tanai, and concludes the Rambam, Ve'en ha'akum mechuyav lama b'takonis chacham, whatever the context, whatever that detail is, a guy is not bound by dinim drabbanan. So we have, the Ran says that Avraham ben Achai drabbanan does not apply to a guy. The Rambam says clearly, a guy does not have to be omei b'takonis chachamim. We agree. There's no reason for a guy to have to be bound by dinim drabbanan because you need a pasuk to obligate a Jew in a din drabbanan. So lo tasser, don't violate the dinim drabbanan. The Torah says, and he wasn't mitzvah in that. So a guy, of course not. However, I found just totally by chance today an incredible Rabbeinu Bechai in source number 6. Rabbeinu Bechai is talking not about a Ben Noach, but he's talking about Avraham Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Avraham Avinu is such a wonderful person. Vayishmor mishmarti mitzvasai chukosai v'sarosai. So the Rabbeinu Bechai has a gevald gevor. What does it mean that Avraham Avinu is such a wonderful tzaddik that he commands his children in his legacy? What was Avraham Avinu's legacy? Well, Avraham Avinu was a wonderful, he was the first. Well, he was a Jew, but he was the first person who really cared about being a proper Ben Noach. He was the first person who didn't do Avodah Zarah, who wanted to be a proper Ben Noach. And therefore, what was his legacy to Banav Acharav? To be a good, upstanding guy. And that's how the Rabbeinu Bechai says, Vayishmor mishmarti, those words, mishmarti, chukosai, mitzvosai, chukosai, v'torosai, those three words refer to, and you could see how he divides it, al derech hapshat, yomer on the top line of the second page, yomer zeh al mitzvah shen stava b'nei noach. This pasuk is praising Avraham Avinu for educating his children and his progeny to keep mitzvah b'nei noach. Mitzvosai, him gezel shvichus damim. V'chukosai, ar evi ben hachai v'kil ayim shal behema. Fine. Sorosai, we're not going to go into that, v'dinim v'avodah zarah. Hold on, please. The Rabbeinu Bechai talks about that in the part that I didn't copy for you. Hold on with that. Says the Rabbeinu Bechai in this last line, Umishmarti, what's that? He explained that we learned from Mitzvosai, Chukosai, Mitzvosai. What was the first word? Mishmarti. Wait, what does the word Mishmarti mean? Where else have we seen the word Mishmarti? We saw that in the source number. No, it's source number 2. The Gemara in Yavama says that the word Mishmarti always means a guard around the Torah. It refers to Dinam Drabanan. Says Rabbeinu Bechai, what was Avraham Avinu Mitzaveh? Avraham Avinu was Mitzaveh Mishmarti to his children to observe the Dinam Drabanan that surround and that guard the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Shnias Larayas, which I assume is one of the where the majority of Dinam Drabanan are by Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. So you see for this Rabbeinu Bechai that he's assuming that there is a concept of dinim drabanan for b'nei Noach. Against everything that we've seen until now, and against the logic that we would assume.
It's not just Shemit. So how could you say that?
So the Rishonim asked you a question, how could the Shvatim violate Isurim Daraisa?
In light of this particular point, even on Rabbanan Daraisa, the out-of-town Megan should not fill out their
phone. Yeah, that's a good point. After Rabbeinu B'chai talks about that in the continuation.
What about Kilayim and Harkovas Ha'ilan?
So I didn't want to focus on that, which he says Kilayim and Harkovas Ha'ilan, but the Gemara talks about, last week we mentioned that there are seven, but there's a Gemara that says really there are 30. There are, even though it's not listed in the seven that we're familiar with, the Gemara in Sanhedrin does mention that there might be others which are included in the 30, and among those are Kilei Behema and Harkovas Ha'ilan, grafting and mixing species.
This view of the Rabbeinu B'chai is probably more consistent with the Malbim we started with. You can see it in that way.
The Malbim is saying that the I don't understand what you're saying. This is talking about Dinan Drabban, and the Malbim was just saying that Zayim and Sibay Noach are the source for Tayag.
Right, so if they're the source of Tayag, it means you're looking at the Zayim and Sibay Noach as categories.
Right.
So therefore,
I don't see Drabbanans, though.
No, exactly, that just goes to how you would Drabbanan. Drabbanan is not just a separate thing, it's part of the expanded vision.
But they're not Machiyah.
Conceptually, I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't say that as a proof. I'd say that the idea is there. Okay. So I just want to add one other source that might indicate that Bnei Noach would be obligated in a din drab in a din in dinam mide rabbanan. There's a. In source number 7. We have. I'm now going to bridge to the next sugya, but first I'll finish up this sugya of whether they're bound by Din and Rabbanan. What are the parameters of adjudicating a case of a guy? Ketan mitzvah hein al hadinim, says the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim Perek Tes. So how do they, what's their mitzvah to do dinim? So they have to establish batei din. And second line, Benosh Avar al Achas Misheva Mitzvahs Elu, a guy who violates any of these Sayan Mitzvahs, Yeharig B'Sayif. That means if you see a fellow in the supermarket swipe a Hershey bar, you shouldn't kill him, but he has to be taken to court and he has to be executed. Right?
Tell us Sharia law.
Sharia, they cut off his hand.
Right, Sharia law, they cut off his hand. I'm sorry. This is the wrong Rambam. I want to tell you a different Rambam. We'll get to this Rambam in a moment. I'm sorry. Wrong Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Malachim, the next perek, a Rambam that we all are familiar with, I'll tell it to you outside. Besides all the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, we also know that Goy Sheshavas, Chayav Misa. Goy Shelomad Torah, Chayav Misa. Says the Rambam, if a guy was Taka Osik B'Torah, right, let's say we put this up online, and a guy listens to it. Does that mean we're going to hunt him down? You have a guest come to your house for Shabbos, and he's not Jewish, he's being a guy who's in the process, and he taka for whatever reason, keeps the whole Shabbos. He doesn't flick on a light. So after Shabbos, you're going to take him down to the basement and cut off his head? Okay, besides that. Says the Rambam, even with these things, even though the Gemara says, Chayev Misa, it really just, the way we're not going to kill him, maybe Chayev Misa Klapi Hashem, but all we do is Makinoso, Va'onshinoso, and we tell him that he deserves to get Misa, but we don't actually kill him. Says the Lech HaMishnah, what does this mean? It means that these are not really Asur Daraisa. That's what the Lech HaMishnah says. So if it's not Asur Daraisa, that means it's only Asur for him to learn Torah to keep Shabbos Mideh?
Rabbanan.
And what are we doing to him? We're hitting him. So what does that mean? That we're holding him responsible and liable for a din midah?
Rabbanan.
Oh, there's a gewaltige chav, Rav Yonason Steif. He was the Wiener Rav in Europe, came to America, and he, right after the war, Rav Moshe used to call him the Gadol Hador, right after the war, and he had this incredible diak. You see from the way the lecha, again, the Rambam says something very simple. If a guy was Osek Batoro or Kep Shabbos, and on that, the Lech HaMishnah said, because it's only the Rabbanan. That's why we don't kill him. Says Yonos and Snipe. Oh, you see, from the fact that something's only Drabanan, and we're nevertheless holding him responsible for it, that means that a Goy is bound by Din Drabanan. Oh, you see from here that Goyim are Nichlal in Dinim Drabanan. Incredible proof from the Lelech Mishnah on the Rambam. There's one problem. What did the Rambam say about 4 minutes ago? The Rambam in Hilchos Nachalos, on source number 5, told us clearly that a guy does not have to keep dinim drabbanan. So that might poke a hole in Yonason Steif's proof from how to learn this din of the Rambam. Okay, that was just the cherry on top to finish the discussion.
Those examples that you gave of were not from the dinim drabbanan.
Well, I would say all the more so. If we're saying that he has to keep the Rabbanan even of things that are not in the Zayim Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, wouldn't we assume all the more so he would be liable, he would be responsible for keeping the Rabbanan of Zayim Mitzvahs Bnei Noach?
Why do we say Garsha Shabbos or whatever? Because we don't want to think he has Kedush, for whatever reason.
Who told him that he can't do it? The rabbis? Why does he have to listen to those rabbis? What's the Mechayev? There's nothing to Mechayev him unless we assume that he's bound by the Rabbanans. Okay.
When we say it's not the Oraisa, you're saying, well, it's the Rabbanan.
There's no other option.
For Ben Noach, there's a Oraisa level, and then there's a lesser level that we're calling not the Oraisa.
I'm not familiar with an intermediary level between the Oraisa and the Rabbanan. Meaning, even though you are correct that there are intermediary levels of high-level Rabbanans, for example, a Dimi Rabbanan that's called Divrei Kabbalah, which means it's a mitzvah derabbanan that's in Tanakh. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that is true. It has a higher chiyuv derabbanan. Like reading Megillah, because it's in Tanakh, is a higher level mitzvah than lighting Shabbos candles, which is, they're both derabbanan, but reading Megillah is a higher level because it's in Tanakh. It's Divrei Kabbalah. But they're both derabbanan. If it's either deraisa, once it's not deraisa, it's derabbanan. There's no other, you know, it's night or day.
You're going in the framework of what applies to Jews. Here we're talking about Bnei Noach. They might have a different...
I don't know what it could be. If it's not the Rabbanan, if it's not the Rabbanan, it's not the right, so what is it? Yeah.
There's a category of Goyim. They call themselves Bnei Noach, the South. Do they have any special category as far as we're concerned? Or
so we're going to talk about what are the status of modern-day Noahides, the last shear of this discussion, we'll try to figure out, do they get Olam Haba? Are they a Ger Toshav? Do Goyim get Olam Haba? Do they not? How do they have to observe the Shemesh Bnei Noach in order for them to earn their Olam Haba? That we'll talk about at the last shiur of this topic.
Friend of mine.
I want to talk about the last topic for today, which is the one of the seven Mitzvahs Bnei Noach of Dinim, that which they have to establish courts. So the Rambam is ever so clear in source number 7. What is this obligation that Goyim have, Bnei Noach have, to do Dinim? Says the Rambam ever so clearly, V'keitzan mitzuvan hein al hadinim. Says the Rambam, Chayavin lehoshiv dayanim v'shoftim. They have to establish court systems, b'chol plach u'plach, in each and every city, ladun, to judge, to adjudicate, b'sheish mitzvos elu. And if they don't, then as we mentioned before, they're going to get killed with sayif. And says the Rambam in the second line in the middle, m'pnei zeh, because of this, nischai v'kol ba'al yishchem hariga. When Shechem took Dina, when Hamor ben Shechem took Dina and raped her, and the city of Shechem were destroyed by Shimon and Levi, how did Shimon and Levi have the right to kill the whole city? Shrei Shechem gazal, v'heim ro v'yodav lo danu. The whole city of Shechem didn't judge their mayor or their mayor's son for this inappropriate behavior. This Zion, one of the Zion Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, and therefore we were able to kill all of the city. Fine. Now, there's a Ramban. I'd like to go to the Ramban inside together because it's so important. V'rabim yishalu. Many people will ask, how could Bnei Yaakov be so bloodthirsty? Eich asu Bnei Yaakov ha-tzadikim ha-mayis ha-zelishpoch damnoki. How could they wipe out a whole city? Harav Heshiv, the Rambam answered, what he answered, that they didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Dayanim. Says the Ramban, I don't like that. Ve'ein dvarim halala nechonim be'enai. Doesn't appear to me. Shim Kain, first of all, who should have, if it's true that Shechem, the entire city of Shechem deserves to be destroyed, so who should have been the big tzaddik and done it?
Yaakov
Avinu himself. And yet what do we see Yaakov's response when his children did it? He was so angry at them. So it means that they did something wrong. But according to the Rambam, they're like, you know, they're the lights of the world. They're maintaining, they're upholding the obligation of Dayanim, of killing off the Zayimis has been enough. Therefore, next paragraph, Al-Dayati Hadin, Dinim is as follows. Look at this line. Tziva Osam, this mitzvah of Zayimis Bnei Noach obligates them, Bidine, Geneva, Ve'ona, not to overcharge a six, Ve'oshek, not to withhold money, Uschar Sacher, to pay the worker on the same day, Vidine Hashomrim, of a Shomer Chinam, a Shomer Sacher, a Shoal, a Socher, Ve'ones, the knossos even that apply to a person who rapes a woman, umefaten, to seducing a woman, vows in zikin, and bor, shor, mave, hever, all the beginning of bava kama, v'chol v'chavera, the five things that you have to pay when you damn it, when you smack somebody in the face, sheves, ripui, boshes, v'dine malve v'lov, all the halachas of borrowing and lending, and dine mekar v'mekar. In other words, what's the Ramban saying? That every non-Jew has to be a baki in all of Choshen Mishpat. All of Choshen Mishpat. That's what the Ramban holds. And if they don't follow the laws of Choshen Mishpat, we kill them. Right? He doesn't pay his worker on the day that he worked, right? You have a babysitter. And you have an obligation to pay the babysitter by the end of that day. Let's say the babysitter works for you during the day. You have a babysitter in the nighttime. So you have till the next day, sunset, to pay your babysitter. Unless you worked out another agreement. And if not, we should kill the guy. That's what Ramban holds. Ramban holds that dinim, the obligation of dinim is that they have to keep all of the parameters of financial halacha that we are familiar with.
Doesn't this imply that they would have to learn Torah to know it?
1,000%. It applies that they have to know. Well, let me ask you a question. You know what else this applies? Forget this. Before this. There's a lot of discussion, especially in the past, you know, 30 years, that more and more women are going to, I think right now there's more than 50% of medical school is female.
Correct.
That's correct? Yeah. Okay. Do we want women to learn Torah? Do we want women to learn Torah Shebaal Peh? Chas v'shalom, it's tiflus. Therefore, they should only learn all of Orach Chaim, all of Yoredeya, all of Choshen Mishpat, and all of Ein Aven HaEzer. But no Torah Shebaal Peh. Is there anyone here who's done that? There's a lot to learn. You're right. The Rambam points out that when we talk, I think the Rambam, some of the Rishonim talk out, when we talk about the fact that a guy can't learn Torah, it means he can't learn Torah besides the seven verses that apply to him. Therefore, according to this Ramban, he does have to learn. In fact, last week we learned, when we learned the expanded version of what the Zayim Mitzvah B'Noach and the Ramami Pano said, that really the 30, one of the 30, if you remember last week, was Lilmod HaTorah HaShayeches Lahem. Which means they have to learn Hilchas Ritzicha, Hilchas Gzela. Wait a second, Hilchas Dinim, what does that mean? That means according to this Ramban, they have to go to Choshen Mishpat Kolo and sit and learn for 10 years straight to go through 400 Samad Simonim in Choshen Mishpat. Because they have a mitzvah to learn the mitzvah satah hashayachas lahem. And so do our wives. And daughters. Yeah. There's a lot to learn. Even if you do, even if you don't want to teach Gemara Chas Shalom because it's tiflis, there's still plenty to learn. Both for our wives and for our guys. If we could just do a quick analysis, there's an incredible, before we do the analysis of that the Ramah offers, I want to tell you a story. The story goes like this. Sometime in the early 1500s, there was a big Talmud Chacham, I don't remember his name, who published a set of Rambam. Now I'm not sure, it was probably
Braggadocio or something like that?
I don't remember the name, but again, when was the printing press established?
1475.
Okay, and we're talking, when did the Ramah live? In the early 1500s. So we're talking just a few years, maybe 2-3 decades after the first printing press was invented in the world. So obviously, Svarim were not common, printed Svarim were not common, and obviously to print them, was something that would incur an incredible expense. And there's a certain Talmud Chacham who took upon himself to allow the Jewish community to access to the Rambams, he took upon himself this expense and he published 100 volumes, 1,000 sets of Rambam, and to be sold, and that way he would recoup his investment. Shortly thereafter, a non-Jewish person figured he could tap into this market of Jews and print his own Rambam for a little bit cheaper, and he started selling it. Sent the shaila to the Rama. What should the Rama do? Well, this is actually the source, more than any other source in all of our literature, of copyright law in halacha. What I'm about to tell you, this Rama says, an intellectual property. Says the Rama, we have here a case of gezel, because the guy who printed the second set was undermining the expenses incurred by the first person. How he got to Gezel, I don't want to get into. That's going to be complicated. But no, the first person printed was the first person to print. He was Jewish. And then the second one who printed was the guy. Yeah. It was the rabbi, right. He was calling the rabbi, but he incurred, right. Without getting into that, I hear what you're saying. So the Rama says, in the end, what the Rama did do is he put out a cherem, and this is why all of our Sfarim all have haskamas. The concept of getting a haskama for a sefer is really so that other people shouldn't take the ideas and pass them on as their own, and haskamas are sort of like a copyright. The original haskama has all said nobody should take this information, should redo this work for the next 50 years, 100 years, 20 years, whatever it is. That was the concept of a haskama historically. And it's all based on this Rama, this tshuva that we're going to learn together right now. The Rama says the following, and we're going to finish with this because our time is up. If everybody could look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where do we know that one of the Zion Mitzvot Bnei Noach is Dinim? Menani Mili, how do we know that there are seven Mitzvot Bnei Noach? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he quotes the pasuk that we've mentioned, and I underlined. The first word of this drasha is Vayitzav, Elo HaDinim. Where do you see in the word Vayitzav anything to do with establishing courts? Says the Gemara, V'cheinu Omer, Ki yadativ l'man asher yitzav es banav, that Avraham Avinu instructed his children to keep laws. So you see that the word tzivui, vayitzav, has to do with laws. Turn the page. That's Rabbi Yitzchak. That's Rabbi Yochanan. Comes Rabbi Yitzchak and says, no. Elohim, the word Elohim and the Elohim in the pasuk, zudinim. And he brings his own pasuk. Where do we see that the word Elohim, Elohim, two ways to read it, refers to dinim, d'chsiv, beginning of the second underlined line, v'nikra, baal habayis, el ha-Elohim, Elohim are the judges. You see the word Elohim refers to judges, so Elohim in this pasuk refers to going to before judges, that's dinim. We have machlokas, what the source for going to court is. Now, says the Rama, an incredible, incredible thing. What are the two sources, the two potential sources of the Zion Mrs. Bnei Noach of dinim? One is from Avram Avinu, and the other is from going to a Beis Din. Well, wait a second. If the source is to go from to of dinim is from Avram Avinu, well, what kind of laws did Avram Avinu have? Only Zion Mrs. Bnei Noach. So, if that's the source for dinim, so what will the parameters of dinim be? Whatever dinim are appropriate to a person like Avram Avinu. However, says the Rama, if we learn dinim from the other, like the second man to Amar, that's from the pasuk v'nikra baal habayis el ha-Elohim, he comes before a Beis Din, a Jewish Beis Din. So what are the parameters? What is that Jewish Beis Din adjudicating? Hilchos Choshen Mishpat. And therefore, says Rama, according to the second man to Amar, that Elohim zudinim, and the dinim is learned from these other pasuk about a Beis Din, what kind of laws will the Goyim be bound by? The Shemes Bnei Noach be bound by? The laws of a Beis Din of Yisrael, the regular laws of Choshen Mishpat. In other words, the Rama says that whether or not a guy is only bound by whatever, simple, you know, a Goyisha, cultural, sociological, Hammurabiic code, is only if it's going to be from learned that from Avraham Avinu. But if we learn the same halacha of Zion Mrs. Bnei Noach from a Beis Din, then it's going to end up being all of Choshen Mishpat. And that's the incredible mental gymnastics that the Rama sees in this Gemara. And you know how he comes out? How do we put? So it's a machlokas. That the way the Rama is seeing in the Gemara, there's a machlokas, amoraim, whether or not The parameter of Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, of the Dinim, is to be just, you know, a social contract between whatever the guy want to establish, like in America and any other code of law, or like Choshen Mishpat. And says Rama, you know how we paskin? He brings proofs that we paskin like the second Manda Amar, that Elokim Zudinim, that Dinim of Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach are learned from who? From the pasuk v'nekrav balabayet el ha'elokim, that a litigant should go before a Jewish beis din and be adjudicated by choshen mishpat, which means the Rama's conclusion is that goyim are bound to our choshen mishpat. All of the parameters of our choshen mishpat, and therefore the story ends. The Rama says that therefore this competitor who printed the Rambam, the second guy who wanted to print the Rambam, is a guy, but it doesn't matter. He's bound by our parameters of halacha when it comes to financial halacha, verdinim, and therefore the same way of gezel, just like a Jew wouldn't be able to steal or invade the copyright rights of that first person who printed the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, so too this, even though that other person, the second one, is a goy, will also not be permitted to invade the property rights of that first printer, and therefore, says the Rama in the conclusion of this tshuva, it will be prohibited for any person to buy the Rambam from the guy until the, let's say, 1,000 copies of the Rambam that the first person had printed are sold out.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.